Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show.
Hey guys, welcome back. Today is going to be so much fun because I got the chance to sit down and talk with not one, but two amazing women that are kicking butt in the financial independence retiring early community. They are Gwen and Jay from Fire Drill Podcast. I am so excited to introduce you guys to them. But before we do that, let's do a quick check-in. So we are sitting here about mid-January. Hopefully you are through all of the New Year's resolution hype. So if you don't have a plan in place, go back and listen to the prior episode, How to Set Better Money Goals. That one's going to help you get more clarity and direction around what should your money goals actually be looking like. And it's time for my favorite segment. I think you guys all know that our hashtag money wins are so inspirational to me. So it's a ton of fun to see what kinds of things you guys are working towards. This money win came from the private Facebook group, and it is from Karen. Karen said she paid off her second student loan at the start of this month. Two down, 11 to go. I'm excited that my avalanche is starting to gain momentum. Hashtag money win. Karen, congratulations. That is incredible. It sounds like you're making really great progress, and I'm super excited to see when you actually pay off all the debt, what you choose to do to celebrate. That's really cool. Okay, so let's talk about Gwen and Jay. They are the hosts of the rapidly growing show, Fire Drill Podcast. Their podcast is quickly becoming one of my favorites too. They get to interview young people who have done amazing things, such as retiring early in their 30s, quitting their jobs to go travel the world, and becoming millionaires through Airbnb. I was lucky enough to actually come hang out on their show too, so it was a ton of fun to chat with them. Their podcast is amazing, but each of these ladies have a really impressive background and stories on their own. So today we're going to hear a little bit of an insider's look into their personal lives. So Gwen is a millennial on the path to financial independence. She's saved $100,000 at age 25, all while earning well short of six figures. So if you think you can't do it, she proves that it's actually possible. She's founder of the blog FieryMillennials.com, and she currently resides in the Midwest and is the happy slave to her cat, Bartholomew. He is so cute too. I've seen some of her posts with her cat in there too. It's hilarious. Jay is a woman working in technology by day, and she's a blogger and podcast host by night. She writes about debt payoff strategies and millennial career hacking at MillennialBoss.com. Jay lives in the Pacific Northwest, so she's anonymous on her blog, but it's really cool to see her journey. She's got a husband and a dog, and she talks about both of those quite a bit throughout her blog as well. In this episode, we talk about what financial independence means to them. Everybody has a slightly different definition. We talk about how life was growing up. We share Jay's story to paying off $89,000 in 18 months, how Gwen went to school debt-free. We talk about how to find exactly how much money you need for FIRE. We talk about some of the terminologies. There's fat FIRE, lean FIRE, stuff that I'd never quite heard of. So we go into some of the lingo, and then we discuss some books that really impacted their lives. All of this and so much more. Guys, I am so excited to introduce you to Jay and Gwen from FireDrillPodcast.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I am joined by not one, but two really kick-ass ladies from Fire Drill Podcast, Jay and Gwen. Jay and Gwen, thanks so much for hanging out. I'm so stoked to chat with each of you.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. It's going to be fun.
Heck yeah, it's going to be fun. So the one thing that I really love is seeing more female podcasters because I think it's a different, unique perspective. But I love seeing your podcast specifically, Fire Drill Podcast, because you guys are freaking hilarious. I was listening to your episode this morning, and the whole time I felt like I was seriously just having coffee chatting with you guys. So I love the energy that you bring to it. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you guys to starting the podcast?
I'll let Jay tell the official story, and then I'll tell the real story.
Okay. So Gwen and I met maybe 2 years ago now, and we became fast friends, and we decided, you know what, we should start a podcast together, and it came about.
And the real story is that Jay said, hey, this would be a great idea. And I was like, yeah, that would be a great idea. And I like shelved it for the back burner. And then she like kept bugging me and bugging me. And I was like, okay, fine, we'll do it. And it was really fun. So I'm really glad that we did it. But it definitely took some poking and prodding on her part to get me to join.
Yeah. And I think the real reason that we did it, as you mentioned, there aren't many female voices in the FIRE community, or it's perceived that there aren't many female voices in the FIRE community. And by FIRE, I mean financial independence, retire early. And that's not true. We're both female FIRE bloggers, and we have tons of friends now that we know of who are pursuing the same thing. So we just wanted to kind of give a voice to women in the FIRE aspect.
I think it's really cool, too. And I love that you guys are doing that. And more than anything, I like that you are drawing in a younger crowd, right? So it's like typically people think, oh, financially independent, retiring early. I'm probably going to be in my 40s. Maybe I'll retire 10 years early in my 50s. But I think it's really cool because you guys are both kicking butt and you're trying to change that spectrum.
So for me, financial independence looks like not having to go to a traditional job. And having the freedom to do whatever I want without really having to necessarily stress out about money. So to that end, financial independence to me looks like quitting my job here in a couple of months and setting out on my own to see if I can make it on my own and do some things that I find interesting that will also happen to help me earn money.
I like it. I think that's really cool. And it's especially exciting to see that you're going to be going out on your own. I think that's a really cool step in your life. Jay, what does financial independence mean for you?
For me, it's all about options. So I want the ability to not have to work in a traditional cubicle job that I have now if I chose not to in the future. And I really am lucky. In May, I got this awesome new job that I love. But the fact that I'm saving towards my eventual financial freedom is important to me, too. Because who knows 5 years down the road if I'll be in a different place. So for me, it's about giving myself a lifetime of freedom and opportunities by saving now and making hard choices now so I can enjoy it later.
Ooh, I love it. And I'm with you on that too, of making the hard choices now. So this is a follow-up question to what you just said too. I think a lot of people get really confused about financial independence and they understand frugality and saving so that you could retire early. But they're afraid that if they retire early through frugality, then they're forever going to be eating rice and beans. Is that the case for you, Jay?
No, not at all. And I think that's a huge misconception because a lot of the most popular folks in the FIRE community are typically very frugal, but there's a term called fat FIRE. It's a Reddit term and it describes someone who wants to bring in an annual income maybe of $100,000 or more. So you don't have to be someone who's cutting costs left and right to still be in this community. You need to save enough to achieve the lifestyle that you want in the future. And I think, though, why you do see so much frugality is that a lot of people realize along the way that, one, they can get to financial freedom faster if they cut, and two, these things that they're holding on to that they're spending money on, it doesn't add that much value to their lives.
Ooh, that is some deep stuff. Gwen, did you experience anything like that yourself, of realizing that stuff doesn't equate to happiness?
Yeah. It happened so gradually that I can't really pinpoint when it happened, but like my friends or my coworkers, they're like, oh, I got this new widget. It's so cool. You should get it too. And I'm just like, nah. And they're like, what? And they're like, they can't comprehend the fact that I just don't want it.
Is that like a natural thing? Were you born that way or was that a learned trait?
Oh no, I was definitely not born that way because I wanted all of the things and was super upset when I couldn't have them, a la light up shoes when I was 5. Haven't forgotten. Yep. I think it was more from deprivation. Like I couldn't get those things, and so I wanted them. But now that I can get them, I choose not to, and it's weird. But like I know that I could go out and buy tomorrow. I just don't want to. Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense. I love that. So I want to hear a little bit about each of your backgrounds growing up. Gwen, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, how was money talked about when you were growing up as a kid?
usually it was talked about in the context of, no, you can't do that because we don't have any. Mm. I grew up pretty poor. My mom was a single working mother of three kids, and we were on pretty much every form of government assistance possible. I got free breakfast and free lunch at school. I went to subsidized after school care. You know, we lived in Section 8 housing. You know, like we were really poor. And then my mom got remarried, and suddenly my life turned completely around. And all of a sudden I was living in a super nice house. I had my own room. You know, I could do after school activities and, you know, have some splurges. Although, you know, compared to where I moved to, that was pretty minimal. So, you know, I always wanted more because then I was exposed to more. So I complained about the fact that I had to buy my own car when my friends were getting like Beamers and Audis and stuff. But then I kind of like snapped out of that when I got into college and like experienced the world and was like, oh, not everybody actually lives in a 5,000 square foot house. All right, cool.
And we definitely don't have Beamers all the time.
not many people that I know give their 16-year-old Lexus SUVs for their 16th birthday.
No, I think that would be some serious culture shock to go from scarcity to a life of true abundance. That's just, it's incredible. Jay, tell us about life for you growing up. What did it look like?
I grew up middle class in an upper middle class neighborhood. So my parents were a little bit embarrassed of our house growing up, which now just seems so weird to me. But even to this day, they still refer to it as their little ranch, which I think is very, very bizarre. And growing up, just feeling like the other kids always had a little more. But at the same time, I mean, I had a great childhood, and I had everything that I wanted. Now, what I realized as an adult is that my parents were putting a lot of money on credit cards in order for me to be able to have the same things as some of the other kids that I was going to school with and go to the same type of colleges. And they have tons of loans right now still. So I think my life growing up showed me and made me the person I am today in terms of finances.
And Jay, if I remember correctly, you got a pretty kick-ass money story about paid off debt. Is that right?
Yeah. So I paid off $89,000 of debt in 18 months. And then I paid off an additional $7,000 earlier this year.
Okay. So the next question that I've got to ask is, okay, how'd you do it? Tell us your secrets.
So, it wasn't easy. So I graduated college with a political science degree, and the reason that I got that degree in college was because I loved learning about the world. I hadn't really traveled internationally or done any of that. So I was just addicted to it when I got to school. But then I left and I felt that my options were limited. I could go to law school, which everyone was telling me at the time to run far away from, or I could try to get another job, but it was kind of post recession and it was difficult at the time. So, I decided to make my own website about student travel because that's what I was really passionate about. And from there, I kind of catapulted into a startup and started getting interested in technology. So a few internships, an internship as a 22-year-old, which, you know, felt like I was going back, but it was worth it. I ended up getting my first job in tech and ended up getting my master's degree. And that's where I got the income to help me pay off that debt.
That's amazing. What was your master's degree in too?
It was in information systems.
Sweet. And did that come with a hefty price tag of debt as well?
So I actually got it reimbursed through my employer. So I made sure to choose a program that was accredited and was not that expensive, since my employer only paid for 80% of it. And then at the very end of it, I actually switched employers and I got the double tuition reimbursement from both employers in the same year. So that helped me finish off the degree.
Dang, you were hustling. I think that's really impressive and good for you for doing your homework and knowing exactly which employers will, what the rules are, which employers will give you a reimbursement. That is something that, I mean, $89,000 that you paid off, not to mention how much you saved on your tuition for your master's. That's incredibly impressive. Gwen, did you have to deal with any of the crazy debt stuff as well?
I actually did not. I managed to score a full ride to my local state university for academics. So I had my college completely paid for. And then just because I was paranoid about losing that scholarship for whatever reason, I joined the military, and if I had lost my scholarship, the military would have picked up the tab for me.
Nice plan, lady. That's impressive.
Yeah, so that really helped out. So I graduated from college with $10,000 to my name, and just started saving like crazy from then, and just, you know, started off with an even playing field, if not, you know, a bit weighted towards helpfulness. So I feel like that gave me a huge leg up, because I didn't have to give my money to anybody. I was able to keep it all for myself.
Makes perfect sense. So at what point in your life then, I mean, you started off with basically net worth positive post-graduation, which is super rare, but at what point did you start to discover the concept of FIRE and start implementing that into your own personal life?
That was about my junior year of college, somewhere around there. And I just remember thinking, this is what I was meant to find. Like, I came from a fairly frugal background, so I'd always been like decent with saving my money and good with finances. And so then I found this and was like, all right, now I have a goal to work towards. Like, this is why I've been doing all of these things. And oh, wow, look, here's even more strategies that I can put into play. So that really helped me, because I didn't really inflate my lifestyle after college. I pretty much continued the same thing. I kept my car. I had a roommate. You know, I rented a cheap place. I didn't like go out and buy a house or anything. So I was just, it helped me have a framework of what to do when I left college.
That's impressive too. So for each of you, what are you doing to save for financial independence now? Jay, what kinds of things are you working towards?
So this year was the first year that, besides a $7,000 debt payment, I didn't have to make any additional debt payments. So that meant that I could max out my 401k.
Woohoo.
So so that was really exciting. And as well as contribute to my IRAs and also save in a brokerage account and a health savings account. So basically, I'm just stashing money wherever possible and choosing to take advantage of tax advantage accounts first.
Ooh, okay. What kind of sacrifices are you making in order to do that?
So when I first started on this journey, I was living in a house. My husband and I and our dog had just purchased a new home, which was a little bit too much for us to afford. And then we filled it up with furniture that was financed with 0% interest credit cards. So we kind of dug ourselves, even though we were both had student loan debt, we dug ourselves even further in the hole. So we sold everything and we downsized. So to pay off the debt and also to help me save, we're now living in a loft apartment, which is much cheaper. I sold my car. So I used to have a car that I loved. So now we're a one car family. It's just the two of us and our dog. But we've just completely changed our lifestyle. So I mentioned before that increasing my income was a huge strategy and career hacking to different career opportunities, but it also comes with paring back and spending too.
Dang, that's impressive too. And I can only imagine with a one car family. I hope that people are like really paying attention to this, because you made some serious sacrifices to get to the point where you could start banking up some serious cash. So I applaud you for your efforts. That's pretty damn incredible. Gwen, what kinds of things are you doing to save for financial independence?
It's kind of similar. I have maxed out all of my tax advantaged accounts. I don't earn quite as much as Jay, so the story pretty much stops there. I've been maxing out my 401k, my HSA, and my Roth IRA. So there hasn't been much left over to live off of since I'm doing this by myself. But I managed to scrape up enough money to buy a rental property. And so I've been stashing as much of that income from the rental property that I can.
That's incredible. So did you buy a rental property before you bought a home for yourself?
Yes. So I'm house hacking. I'm living in the property and renting out the other units. It's a triplex. So the other one of the units will pretty much cover the mortgage. And so then the other one is money in my pocket. And then I live for free.
That's such a killer way to go. So you're house hacking as a form of getting you to financial independence to reduce your normal expenses. Do you eat out much? Like what does a day-to-day life look like for you?
I try not to eat out, but sometimes I get lazy, or, you know, I have friends. I have a really bad habit of forgetting my lunch at home. So I have to eat out in the cafeteria at work, or I go out to grab a quick sandwich or something. So that's something that I'm trying to work on. But yeah, I mean, like, I go out for happy hours and I go out to meet friends for dinner, and, you know, my boyfriend and I go out on dates. Like, you know, I don't just like sit at home in the dark to save money. You know, I still have an active social life.
I love that. And I'm laughing a little bit too, because I'm actually thinking of like how often I leave my lunch on the kitchen counter and I go to work. I'm like, oh, frick, forgot it again. So it's such a common thing, but I think that's cool to see the steps that you're taking to get you to that point. I've got to know, so for each of you, when are you hoping to officially hit the number where you could, in theory, retire if you so chose? Jay, what's that number for you?
So the number is constantly changing. When I first learned about this, it blew my mind, and I also was very young. I was 24. I'm only 28 now, so I'm talking like it was, you know, years ago. It was yesterday. But I thought I will be financially independent by 30. And now I'm, you know, near, I'm going to be 29 soon. Like, I'm not ready to leave the workforce. I like my job. I found a job that I actually like. And I would say advice to anyone, if you aren't happy in your job, maybe early retirement, like, you should still, why not save a bunch of money and pursue it, but also see if there are things that you can do to improve your day job so that you're happy.
So are you thinking like maybe 40 now, or like what's the old number for you? I guess I'm with you. The closer I get to 30, the more that number keeps changing too.
I know it's tough. And, you know, I think Gwen and I talk about this a lot. So there are a lot of folks in their 30s who are pursuing financial independence, and they already have their home, or they know exactly what town they want to live in. They have kids or they don't have kids. So it's so easy for them to calculate, my life costs me $4,000 a month, and they can easily get their annual expenses and their FIRE number from there. But for the two of us, I mean, I'm married, so I at least know like who the other person is going to be, but we don't know where we're going to live. We don't know if we're going to have kids. So we're trying to be a little bit flexible about our number right now. But once I get over 1 million, then I'll feel like I've achieved a point where I could live off my investments somewhere. And if we chose to, we could do that. So that's like my new goal. And I'm thinking we'll probably hit that when I'm in my early 30s.
I like it. Gwen, what about for you?
Well, my plan has pretty much changed completely since I started. I started thinking out that I was going to do kind of like a lean FIRE, which is pretty much the exact opposite of fat FIRE, as the name kind of implies, and live off of like $23,000 a year. So I calculated that I would need like $635,000 or something like that. But it would, as of the last time that I did my net worth, it would take me like 6 more years to get to that number, according to the calculations. But I'm actually kind of just saying nope to that plan now. And I'm quitting my job in March and striking it out on my own. So I'm exercising my FU money stash, where I have a bit saved up and I have plans to earn more so I don't have to continue working at my 9-to-5.
That's so cool. And is it all going to be primarily through firingmillennials.com? Is that where you're focusing most of your attention?
Yeah, through here, through the blog and through the podcast. And I have a couple ideas up my sleeve for some courses and stuff to produce while I have the time, and do creative things like stained glass and quilting and coming up with some patterns and freelancing, just kind of like a hodgepodge of anything that I find interesting.
That is so cool. I love that. And then Jay, with millennialboss.com, when did you start that, and what was the inspiration behind your website?
So I started that in 2015, and I have had a lot of blogs. I mentioned my student travel site. I had a travel hacking site. So really, blogs just reflected whatever I was super passionate about at the time. And in 2015, that's when I got my first management job. And I was 25. I was managing a team of people. Some people were 20 years older than me. It was really challenging. And when I Googled Millennial Boss on the internet, there were a lot of negative things out there. So I was trying to provide some of the lessons that I was learning in my day-to-day and share that with people. So it didn't actually start out as a financial blog. Then I ended up getting super into the financial independence world and money, and I just completely changed it into a personal finance blog. But it still has a career hacking element to it, and I think that's helpful because that's been a big strategy into how I've achieved FIRE, or I will achieve FIRE.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so we've got to get some terminology stuff down because I'm hearing like fat FIRE, lean FIRE, and I'm sitting here like, what? And I know some people are going to be very confused on what that means. So can we start with just like basic terminology of FIRE? What are the key terms that we should be aware of?
Sure. So I'll start with the key concepts and then I'll let Gwen talk about the terms. So if you're looking to calculate your financial independence or FIRE number, take your annual expenses, multiply it by 25. And that's the number, that's the goal that you should look to save or achieve. Alternatively, if you go the saving path, Gwen talked about going the passive income path as well, and you don't have to wait quite that long until you've saved that number. But the 25X rule is a big role in the FIRE community. So that's the first thing that people need to know. And then the second thing is FIRE means financial independence, retire early. And a lot of the original folks in the movement, they were very frugal, and their typical annual expenses were like $40,000 a year or less. So I think that's categorized as kind of like a regular FIRE. And then Gwen can go into some of the differences, fat FIRE and lean FIRE and all that.
Yeah. So lean FIRE is you are running a very frugal, minimalist existence. Maybe you grow your own food in your garden and you have your house already paid off. Whereas fat FIRE is like, well, occasionally I want to travel overseas, maybe in first class, and I want to stay in hotels instead of a hostel, and I want to be able to go out and go to a Michelin restaurant if I can, or even just, you know, have the freedom to not worry about the money at all. So lean FIRE is typically classified, I think, for somewhere around under 25,000, maybe it's under 30. And then I think fat FIRE is anything from like 50 on up. And I think everything in between is just regular financial independence and retiring early. So honestly, I wouldn't get too caught up in the terminology. I mean, you just have to do whatever works best for your specific situation and don't really worry about what everybody else is doing.
That's some damn good advice too. I think that's a really important concept. When we're thinking about financial independence, we're thinking about FIRE. Should we be factoring in that our house will be paid off at that time, or will we still have a house payment, or is that so unique to each person?
So there are different philosophies on this. If you got your home loan at a really low interest rate and you believe that the stock market will give you better returns on that money, then some people believe you shouldn't pay off your mortgage, that you should instead invest the money. Mm. Other people think that maybe any debt is limiting and holds you down or it's not good. So you should pay off the mortgage as quickly as possible. And then you only have to worry about your property taxes and other expenses.
So what's your opinion on that then? Are you more of the pro keep the debt if it's low interest rate or get rid of it?
I'm on the get rid of it path. So for my student loans, at least, even though they were a lower interest rate, I needed to get rid of those. And psychologically, I can tell you it feels so good. So right now I don't feel trapped in a job. I'm choosing to go to work every day and I don't have to worry about a student loan payment over my head. If I chose to do something different, I could. So in the mortgage aspect, I kind of feel the same way. My goal is to have a paid off mortgage when I do ultimately choose to leave traditional employment. But, you know, Gwen, on the other hand, with her investment properties, she may have a different strategy. She doesn't want to pay those off as quickly as possible. She wants to keep her cash to fix them up or to potentially acquire more properties.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You're like, hey, it's like we know each other. Well, we spend hours together every week.
Yeah.
So
we can pretend to be the other person, Gwen. I wonder if that'd be funny.
He asked a question for you. I should answer it and you should do the same for me.
Oh my God, we should absolutely do. Wouldn't that be the best? Next time. Okay, well, yes. I'm going to start like prepping this for the future. So Jay, did you finally learn what puppy chow was? I have to ask.
I did Google it and it looks delicious.
Are you going to make some?
I may make some. I may. I don't... I don't feel the same way about it as you guys. Like, apparently I missed something growing up in my childhood.
Don't knock it till you try it. It's some good stuff, actually. So Gwen and I are going to have a puppy chow party. We were talking on Fire Drill Podcast, and we were joking about puppy chow. And Jay had not heard of puppy chow yet, so Gwen and I were a little disheartened by that.
Aghast.
Yeah, apparently I'm a weirdo. We didn't have this growing up, I'm telling you.
It's just the craziest thing. So speaking of like weird things and stuff like that, has there been a book that was like extra weird that really stood out to you or just had a really big impact on your life that most people don't know about? Jay, we'll start with you.
Okay, good. Cause I literally read thousands of books.
I've read a lot of books. Everyone knows about this book, I think, but The 4-Hour Work Week, that really just hit home for me. The idea of ultimate productivity and creating sources of passive income so you can be free to travel the world or do whatever you want. Even though I am someone who is in a traditional 9-to-5 job, I have created passive income sources. So I have millennialboss.com that you mentioned that I monetized through some display advertising. I also have an Etsy shop. So that's been really fun to do. And I'm always trying to experiment with sources of passive income. So that book has been really awesome and inspiring to me.
Tell us about your Etsy shop too. That's so cool.
So I started an Etsy shop earlier this year. I really wanted to sell a physical product. And while I don't tell everyone exactly what my product is, I chose a market that I was familiar with, which is the late 20s women bachelorette party market. So I have tons of friends right now. I'm going to their bachelorette parties and, you know, there's a lot of different products that you can buy for it, decorations, like bride's best friend t-shirts, all those things. So that's a huge market and women are wanting to pay a significant amount of money for it. And it doesn't actually cost that much to make this stuff. This stuff's kind of junky stuff. So I launched my shop and I've been selling that since.
I love it. My first thought was like penis cake molds.
Oh my God. No, it's nothing inappropriate. Darn. That's not why I don't say it.
I got so excited right there. I'm like, that is amazing.
No, it's just because I tell people in my real life what it is. So I'm, you know, anonymous on the blog.
It's pretty good. I don't know if I'd ever buy it if I had a bachelorette party, but then again, I don't want a bachelorette party. So
I didn't have one either, but I whenever I go to them, I like relive what mine could have been like, but I didn't want one.
No, I'm kind of with you guys. They're expensive. They're crazy. I don't know. They're not really up my alley either, but I love attending them.
Yeah. We did our wedding so budget and I didn't want to put anything on the guests because, you know, it gets expensive and when everyone's all getting married and it's just, you know, it all adds up. So.
Oh, totally. So Gwen, tell us about a book that had a big impact on your life. You said you've read like thousands. So is there a couple that maybe go to the top of the list for you?
Oh man. Okay. So like I was just thinking about this and I think literally the book that made the most impact on me is actually a series of books and I'm going completely basic and it's definitely Harry Potter.
I knew like, it.
I knew it too.
Obsessed. And I'm still kind of a Potterhead to the point where last year I managed to get tickets to the Harry Potter play in London and I flew halfway around the world to London to go see the play.
That is the coolest thing ever. Was it amazing too?
It was literally a magical experience. And I'm so happy that I went because it was just like incredible. I don't know. It was one of the best things that I've ever done for myself.
That is so cool. And did you drink butter beer and all that delicious stuff too?
No, they didn't have it there.
Oh, weird.
Instead, I was in London and it was right next to Soho, West End is. So there is an entirely gluten-free Italian restaurant just couple blocks away. So I walked there and just have like the most amazing Italian meal of my life because I don't get to eat pasta very much because I'm gluten intolerant. So I got to have this amazing polenta and there was gluten-free beer and I didn't have to worry about getting sick because nothing glutinous was in the restaurant at all. So it was a splurge because it was kind of expensive, but again, totally worth it.
That is like goals. That's amazing. And then Harry Potter too, I think would be so fun. Side note about Harry Potter. So I occasionally on weekends will flip items, like go garage selling and that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. Harry Potter books are money, guys. That is like some decent chunk of change.
Oh man, I'm going home for the holidays. I have to raid my parents' basement.
You're like stealing all your nieces and nephews' Harry Potter books.
Yep.
It does kind of kill me though when I see projects on like Pinterest or something where they're like, cut up your Harry Potter books. And I'm just like, ah!
Don't cut them up.
Yeah, it's so true.
Harry Potter books are literally like, I don't know. I hold so much. You know, there's still pages in number 7 where I cried, and you can see the tear marks on the page. Like, I can't keep those out.
You're the greatest. I love this so much. I think the first book that I ever officially cried when I read was Where the Red Fern Grows. Do you remember that one?
God. That was so sad. Right? That was so sad.
Ugly crying happened a lot.
Yeah, I love it. So what books are you reading right now? Gwen, are you reading a good one?
Well, I tend to read more of the self-help books. So I'm reading, Emotional Intelligence 2.0 right now.
Oh, are you loving it?
It's interesting. That's for sure. So I'm getting use out of it, which is good. I read pretty fast. I read, about 100 pages an hour. So it doesn't take me very long to get through books at all.
Oh my gosh. You read like 100 pages an hour?
Yeah. Yeah.
That probably takes me like four.
Yeah, no, I learned, so I read so much that I learned how to read really fast. So I read like the last Harry Potter book in, 4 or 5 hours, something like that. It didn't take me very long at all.
You are amazing. That wow. Okay, Jay, are you reading like 500 pages in a minute?
Okay, so actually, I have to admit, Gwen, we should go to a museum together because I also read very quickly, but my husband doesn't. So whenever we go to a museum and we're like reading the same picture, I want to move to the next one. And he's like, I'm still reading this. Or if we watch a foreign movie with subtitles or something, like, yeah. So we would be well paired. I do read really fast too. And I think I can attribute that to Harry Potter growing up.
I totally relate to your husband. I'd be like, okay, wait, let me read that second sentence again. Is there a book that you're reading right now, Jay, that you're kind of loving or digging?
I'm reading The Happiness of Pursuit by Chris Guillebeau. Oh. And he is known for traveling to every country in the world. So it's pretty fun to and the book is all about quests, and it's not necessarily money focused, but it's about these people who they get the idea that they want to do something big. Like, I want to travel to every country in the world, or I want to collect every bar of soap from this hotel chain. I mean, that's a really bad example, but they do these really like monumental things and pursue them. And it's all the challenges that they face and why they don't give up and everything. So it's super inspiring.
That's cool. And we're not judging about your soap collections. Don't worry.
I swear I don't have one.
Yourself, because I'm totally judging.
I think I do actually take the soaps when I'm at hotels, because, you know, sometimes you'll go to an Airbnb, you'll rent a condo, and they don't have the soap. And
I'm just cheap. I like taking the soaps because that means it's less stuff that I have to pay for later. I'm not a big fan. I don't actually use any soap in the shower, but I do use shampoo and conditioner, so I'll take those.
You don't use shower gel?
Nope.
No kidding. What?
Is this optional? I didn't know that.
I haven't used any sort of soap in the shower for probably over a decade now.
And I've met Gwen in person and she doesn't smell, so this must work.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the same thing behind the no shampoo and conditioner, the no poo movement. You know, like, stripping body of the natural oils and stuff, and so your skin like goes in overdrive and produces it. So if you can train your skin to like adapt to not being stripped all the time, then you don't smell and my skin is nice and soft and, you know, it works out.
Wow.
I mean, all kinds of tips.
Deodorant because, you know, that would be disgusting if I didn't. But yeah, no soap.
Is it supposed to work the same way with deodorant too?
You know, honestly, I have not been willing to find out because I don't want to stink.
I heard Cameron Diaz doesn't wear deodorant.
What?
That's what I heard.
I mean, if Cameron doesn't, then, you know, we're all good.
Yeah, we're good, right?
That's incredible. So let's chat a little bit about money tips, money advice, or areas that you feel like most millennials are maybe not getting correct. Is there room for improvement for us fellow millennials? Jay, what do you think?
Okay, so I used to spend money on clothing and shopping. If I had a bad day, or even if I was just looking for something to do on the weekend, I'd go to the outlets and I'd binge, or I'd go to the mall and I'd get a couple of things. And what I think millennials can do, if you still need an impulse binge on yourself. So what I started doing was putting a little bit too much in my 401k, taking a little bit too much from my paycheck. And it felt like I had done the same thing. Like essentially I put myself in a situation where I was a little bit pinched for money, but it ended up being good and it came back to me versus shoes that sit in my closet, like these $400 boots I accidentally bought one time.
Accidentally.
That I've only worn twice. Yeah.
Do you still have them?
I still have them. They're so crazy too. Like they go over the knee and they're like leather, five different colors. They're so unnecessary.
Yeah, that does not sound like you at all.
No, it's not me at all. So I don't know what happened there.
Gwen, what do you think? Millennials, what can we be doing better?
I think just being conscious about money is a good first step. Like you just whip out your credit card and you just put that plastic down and you don't realize how quickly it adds up. And so then you're like, holy cow, what did I spend all this money on? And unless you are like consciously tracking what you're buying and thinking about it, it's super easy to just go way over anything that you can set up. So, I mean, like if you think about it, and, you know, I hate to use this as an example, but like Starbucks, it's super expensive, but, you know, it just seems like a normal cost. You know, you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to Starbucks and I get this awesome coffee. You swipe the credit card and you don't even realize it. But then you're like, where did all my money go? I don't have money to buy anything, or I can't travel because I don't have any money. Well, you do. You're just spending it on things that maybe aren't your biggest priority.
I love it. I think that makes so much sense. Ladies, this has been so much fun getting to know you all a little bit better and to hear a different side of the hosts of such an amazing podcast. I love what you're up to. And can you tell us a little bit about your Facebook group too? I think this is like a really cool resource for people.
So we wanted to create a private community where people could talk about financial independence or the concept of retiring early or ask any question they want in a environment that is, with like-minded people and get answers and be able to build off the excitement and the knowledge of others. So we created the Facebook group. It's invite only and it's private. And it's pretty cool. I mean, we've made great connections in there. We've learned a lot of stuff and we have great discussions after our episodes in there.
So how do people, what should they be searching for?
So if you go on our website, firedrillpodcast.com, and click community, you can get the link to our Facebook group.
Love it. And I think that's something that is such a cool way to bring the conversation further and to just help each other out. It's always nice to have people that are like-minded that can relate to what you're going through, especially when you're trying to save more money so you can retire earlier. It's not something most people understand.
Nope. Yeah. It sounds crazy, honestly. It sounded crazy to me the first time I ever heard of it. So it took me 2 years to actually get into it. And it's because I had a coworker that I told about a blog that I followed, and he ended up taking the advice from the blog and told me he would retire in 4 years. And after that, I was like, what? I need to actually get in on this too. So if it sounds crazy right now, it might grow on you.
I definitely get looks at work that looks like I've sprouted a second head or something. People are like, what? No, you can't do that. You don't know anything. You're so young. Life will catch up to you eventually and you'll figure it out that it's not possible.
That's such a sad mindset too, that you've got to go through in order to try to convince people around you that, no, I can actually do this. And you probably could too, if you listen to me.
It's true.
Very sad. So firedrillpodcast.com. Ladies, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for hanging out and sharing a little bit more insight into FIRE, key terminology that is super confusing. And I just appreciate you really shedding some light onto this really important topic. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
All right. What'd you guys think? I loved this episode with Gwen and Jay. I thought it was super interesting to hear about this community of financially independent, retiring early people and what steps they're taking to get themselves to that point in their financial lives. The piece that really stood out to me was that rule of 25. Do you remember that? Where they said you take your living expenses for the year and then you times it by 25. And that's roughly how much you would need to be financially independent. So I thought that was really kind of a cool back of the napkin calculation to figuring out if you're on track for financial independence. Thank you so much for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. It means the world to me, and it really does help this show's ratings. Thanks for joining in, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.